Live from the Allstate Showcase Studio. This is the Steve Cochran Show on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
Check this music out now. Grammys last night. New theme today. Wake up to this. A lot of kids are jumping. A lot of kids love this stuff. Crank it a little more. Yes, I'm going. 6:10, glad to be back. Hope you had a nice couple of days with Pete McMurray.
Pete McMurray, welcome back. We missed
I'm kidding. Thank you. I missed you. Well.
Yeah, welcome back, Steve.
Kidding. Pete McMurray, I knew Pete was here.
Yes.
And I hear he did a fine job.
He did.
He did, until we started talking about Al Jarreau.
Yeah, he just killed Al Jarreau.
Not intentionally.
Take that up with Dean later, I guess, huh?
Yeah.
Let's do the top six at six.
Now it's time to move on to a little something we call...
The Steve Cochran Show presents the top six at six.
That's the best number I've heard yet.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
Yes.
Six.
Lucky guess.
My favorite number is six.
The top six at six on 720 WGN.
Top six at six of the bonus item right out of the gate. Go Cats. Big win last night,
Dave. How about
Dave?
That? It was a
Did you make
big
the game?
Win. Yeah, I was there, as a matter
good,
of fact.
Good. Beat Wisconsin.
At Madison, where the Wildcats played the very first game when they opened the Kohl Center in 1998, and they lost 56-33.
That's not good.
They didn't win a game there until 2014.
Wow.
And now they've won twice in their last three visits there, but this was the biggest because this was one that came on the heels of back-to-back losses.
Stop the bleeding, Andrea. That's what it was about, stopping the bleeding.
Exactly right. They're playing without their leading scorer for the third straight game. They were double-digit underdogs. They played a great game. They really did. They led most of the night.
And now they've got some juice going into another tough game.
They have Maryland here on Wednesday. The good news is that's a home game.
Right.
The other piece of good news is that Scotty Lindsay, their leading scorer who's been out, should be back sometime this week.
Good.
So I think they're in better shape than they were 24 hours ago.
No doubt about it. And by the way, Maryland, the Terrapins, the Terrapin, a lot of people think that's a turtle. That's actually a secret word for cheater.
Yeah.
They're a bunch of cheaters. I don't know if you know that.
They're not cheaters.
Oh, they're not?
They're not cheaters.
Oh.
But they
good
are,
team.
They're a good team, but they had lost a couple in a row before they won on Saturday against Ohio State. This would be a good game. And by the way, of the remaining games, they have four games left at home. It's the only one that there are any tickets left for.
Oh.
It's Wednesday night, 6 o'clock.
Well, get it.
Yeah.
Get out there and get it. POTUS has he really had an S hit the fan weekend. You know, and Saturday was expected to be another one of those, hey, Jared Kushner's not watching him, the wheels could come off. And yet, he seemed to behave fairly well on Saturday. But then yesterday, he got up yesterday morning, and he started throwing tweets out like nobody's business and made it a hot mess. One of them that he threw out yesterday, to me, was the most disturbing. And that is that in the middle of a North Korean crisis, where North Korea is threatening the world, you know, a little Kim Jong crazy, he tweets out that Mark Cuban is not smart enough to be president.
Where did that even come from?
People's best guess is there was a New York Post or a New York Daily News story on Friday where they listed some of the potential rivals to Trump in 2020. 2020 seems like a long ways away. And one of those on the list was Mark Cuban. So Donald Trump, the president of the United States, apparently assumed we all read it. We were all equally outraged. So that way his tweet kind of made sense.
Oh, God.
Oh, man, is exactly right. Staff unrest continues in the White House. If they're not leaking, they're backstabbing. If they're not backstabbing, they're leaking. There's a game going on in Washington. Who goes first? Who goes first is not who's first in line. It's who will leave the Trump administration first. Will it be General Michael Flynn, the National Security Advisor, who by all accounts leaked information to the Russians while President Obama was still in office. And it could be criminal, but it very to be incredibly generous, it's at least fireable. Will it be Reince Priebus, the chief of staff, who Trump's a good friend, one of his good friends came out yesterday and said Priebus can't handle it, and he's not good enough to be there. Will it be Sean Spicer, or is it Melissa McCarthy?
Oh, how great was she?
Sean Spicer, the White House communications director, who continues to have massive problems. Will it be Kellyanne Conway? See the Saturday Night Live sketches, Kellyanne Conway.
With Glenn Close. Oh,
please, please, you lazy media member. Stop calling them skits. It's not a Boy Scout camp.
I know.
It's a sketch.
I will not be ignored.
I had a nightmare about that, by the way.
You have to be old enough to appreciate Fatal Attraction.
Yes.
Did you just say skit?
Yeah.
It's a sketch.
Sketch. That's why I said sketch.
Or nice Stephen Miller. That's another one.
And Stephen Miller, all 5 feet, 3 inches of him. Mm. Who went all over the talk shows yesterday and said, don't ever question. And I'm not making this up. He essentially said, and then specifically said on one of the shows, the president's power and authority will not be questioned.
Right.
Really?
Did he say to
Chuck? Really?
Did he say to Chuck?
Try us.
Did he say to Chuck Todd, is this the same interview where he said, well, I'm not answering these questions because the White House didn't give me bullet points. I wasn't prepped to answer these questions from
you. Yeah, didn't have a script. That's right. Yeah.
There was a
and it looked like he was reading off of a script off to the side of the camera.
Yeah, he looked like he had notes.
There was a New York Times story yesterday that says his National Security Council staff, they call them chaotic and anxious. And the first thing they do is get up in the morning and they go to Twitter to read what happened.
To see what bandage you're going to have to put on. One of the biggest concerns remains, and there's a congressman who actually put forth, there's attempting to get a bill put forward about this, that would make it mandatory to have a psychiatrist in the White House on staff 24/7.
As they probably should.
By the way, yeah, I wouldn't limit this to Trump.
Yeah.
Whoever is in the White House, they ought to have a psychiatrist on
staff. I'm surprised they don't have one already.
Yeah.
Really?
They have a staff doctor?
Yeah,
they have
doctor.
A dentist probably.
They got a doctor around 24/7. They can get a dentist, they can call a dentist.
Sure.
You ought to have a psychiatrist following them around.
Yeah, I agree.
Psychiatrist ought to be the one carrying the codes.
Exactly.
You want to sit down and tell me why you're angry at your mother before you blow up the rest of the world?
Or at least have a pet there. This guy doesn't even have a pet.
No. It's Well,
Sean Spicer.
Yeah.
Come on.
Sean and Priebus.
Is he the first president that doesn't have a dog?
I think so, yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. It would make sense if he had a cat and he sat around like Dr. Evil and he petted it at this point.
Yeah, that would be perfect.
A hairless cat.
Or a ferret.
He has a ferret. He's got Sean Spicer.
Oh, that's
next! The Saturday Night Live stuff was... see, you can't... people are sort of going, well, the Melissa McCarthy thing wasn't as good. You can't repeat the surprise.
Right.
Your first kiss is always going to be your first kiss. Your first experience of something, you know, the great shock and surprise... It can't ever be that again. But she was great.
Fantastic.
How about the podium at the end?
Oh, that was so
driving
funny.
The podium.
Movable podium to try to run down the
I think
press.
It was a segue.
It was a segue. It's yeah. Exactly what it was.
Or when she pulled out the Moana doll. Yes. Moana bad.
Yes. Tremendous. Just tremendous.
Oh, that makeup job. Oh, it's unbelievable.
And Glenn Thrush, this behind-the-scenes innocent writer, the New York Times is now a national household name if you watch Saturday Night Live, and more than half the country does. As a matter of fact, this is a show that the president of the United States said is failing. Had its highest ratings in 6 years Saturday night.
How about that?
Yeah, 10 million people.
Also to Kate McKinnon as Jeff Sessions.
Oh, Kate McKinnon in the Fatal Attraction sketch.
Yeah.
Kate McKinnon did every part on the show.
She did.
Kate McKinnon was in the band.
She's great.
She's just unbelievable. Next! Boy, the Grammys were busy last night. You had lots of great performances, which is great. You know, I was thinking about this, too. There's nothing harder in performance art than stand-up comedy. There's nothing harder than that. Get up in front, and if you don't believe me, go to work today, tell a joke. Just go to work today, put six or seven of the people that work with you around you in a circle and tell them a joke. Mm-hmm. And when a trickle of sweat comes down the middle of your back and you start to panic, multiply that exponentially to have 200 people who've paid for two drinks sitting there looking at you going, dance, monkey, dance. There's nothing harder. If you can either sing or you can't, you can act or you can't, you've got that ability. But to do stand-up comedy is very difficult. Having said that, last night, there's nothing like the Grammys.
Oh, I know.
You can't put a bunch of actors up at the Oscars and go, all right, act your asses off right now, all of you.
True.
Now bring up another actor. Have him act. Like, you can't have those kind of performances one after another after another after another. And you can't have moments like last night, which were unbelievable. When Adele started off key, and then the song went total diva and said, we're starting over.
How about that?
You dropped the F. I thought it was cool.
See, I didn't.
Andre and I were just talking about
that.
What
did you like about it?
I thought it was, number
it's
one.
It's unprofessional.
First of all,
yeah.
It's the second year in a row that it's happened. It was unprofessional. I didn't like that she, you know, we all get in that heat of the moment, but we're behind the mic all the time.
Right.
She swore.
Yeah, the F-bomb.
She swears all the time.
She swore, yeah, and to restart the set.
And I thought the restarting was great.
Because here, Steve, Metallica and Gaga, James Hetfield's mic didn't work.
Right.
Yeah,
you
he
didn't,
kept going.
And you didn't hear him go, damn it, damn it. He just walked over to Gaga, and then they shared a mic.
Well, but it is a different song.
Well, that's true.
If Metallica had stopped in the middle of the song, that's a... different.
I just thought she was a little diva. And I like Adele, but...
And also the guilt about winning again, again, and again. You put Beyonce in a terribly awkward position when you continually point out that she lost and that Grammy should be hers. I mean, what do you just... give it to her after the show.
Right. Or give her one of them anyway.
Queen Bee.
Who was the actor a few years ago that tried to give Jack Lemmon an Oscar? I think it was an Oscar. It must have been. Why would Jack Lemmon have been there? There was an actor that won, that went up on stage and said, this shouldn't be... It was an upset. It shouldn't be mine. This should be Jack Lemmon's.
I remember that. And he was just sitting in the audience going, huh?
Yeah, he goes, no.
Yeah.
Oh, Ving Rhames.
Ving Rhames, that's right.
2013,
yeah. Yeah. Oh, it was a Globe. That's what it was.
A Globe, yeah.
Yeah. And, all right, so we got a couple more here. We're still working our way through the top six at six. You know, it's Monday. Oh, and we'll get to the outfits later, including, and Dave, I have to say, your underboob today rivals Lady Gaga's.
Pretty good, huh?
Yeah, it's not bad.
Thank you.
Go Cats.
It's so weird.
The Hawks stay hot. The Cats win. Hawks win their fifth straight this weekend. How many days off they have?
They're off until Saturday night when they play Edmonton.
Yeah.
Yeah, this is every team gets a week now.
Yeah, it's just a weird schedule, the National Hockey League.
Well, and it could be weird again next year because there's still been no decision on the Olympics.
Yeah.
But it's an Olympic year.
Yeah, it's just goofy. Just very, very, very goofy. And then finally this. Are we out of paper? Yeah, we found one more.
I found it. It's just it's weird. I lost it, and it's been fast moving.
Well, I appreciate you finding. I assume you worked TV this weekend?
I did, yeah, yesterday.
Okay, so in the middle of the continuing nightmare of Chicago gang violence, two little girls were shot. Separate incidents, 111, 112. Well, what's the status?
It's horrendous. The one little girl is recovering at Comer Children's Hospital. She is the niece of Andrew Holmes, our friend, community activist, who just lost his daughter to gun violence a year ago. The other little girl, the prognosis is not good. She's on life support.
They're both shot in the head.
Yeah, and they were both sitting in cars. They were both sitting there, innocent bystanders, the victims caught in gang crossfire. Very sad and just sickening stories.
This is an impossible problem that has to be made possible. You cannot go, gosh, isn't that a shame? Boy, that's a shame. Two little girls were shot. This should be... When are we going to hit the last straw? Because, you know, if it takes bringing in the National Guard by the governor, then do it. I know the mayor doesn't want to see military personnel on the streets on the west side. Nobody wants to see that. But you get little kids being shot. I mean, one of the girls is supposedly in a playground.
Yes.
And then she apparently got in the car, whatever. But the two that were shot in the head, they weren't the targets of these dumbass gang members who ought to be spending their weekends practicing at the shooting range so they know how to hit their targets, because it's continued drive-by. Oh, it's just so awful.
The one little girl at 65th and King was shot as she was sitting in a car with her mom, and they were going to the cleaners. And this is 7:30 at night, Steve.
Ridiculous.
This isn't, you know, 2 o'clock in the morning.
And this is all over the city. Over the weekend in front of my house in Uptown, 11 shots fired at a passing car.
What's going on in your neighborhood?
It's up for grabs.
You got to move, man.
Yeah. It's rough, yeah.
I'm going to put some police taper on your block.
It was all weekend, trust me.
How many? How long have you lived there?
About 20 years.
But it wasn't like that always, right?
It's been kind of iffy, but it seems to be getting worse with gangs now over the last few years, yeah.
And don't give your address out, unless you want to.
No, but it's...
I'm going to meet friends, but what neighborhood are we talking about?
Uptown.
Right, but what part of Uptown?
So, like, near Magnolia and Lawrence, Magnolia and Wilson, that area.
There's lots of kids there.
Yeah. The community college right around the corner.
The violence spills into all these different neighborhoods.
Yeah.
That's the problem.
Because they're little pockets of gang-controlled areas, and they just, like you said, they don't know how to fire their guns at the right targets, and everybody standing nearby is
And every vulnerable. Gang...
They shouldn't even have the guns. No.
And the senior gang members were rounded up by the cops years ago. They're sitting in jail, and you got a bunch of 14 and 15 and 16-year-olds who all are trying to control their 50 feet of turf, and they don't have any respect for life, and they don't even understand what it's like to take a life.
That's the problem. There's no respect out there anymore.
And they don't care.
It used to be turf and drugs, and now it still is, but there's other things going on as well, and it's just this random gunfire that they don't care who they're shooting at.
Little kids, little 11-year-old and 12-year-old girl.
Very sad.
620. And let's reach out to the mayor. Was the mayor on last week?
Yeah, the mayor was on with us on Thursday, I believe. Yeah.
Obviously didn't know about this. It happened over the weekend. But was there any discussion of violence?
There was a little bit of discussion about violence. It was mainly about the Green Line that was being built. And we did ask the mayor about Donald Trump's comments about Chicago. And he said, you know what? We would love the feds. Great. We would love the feds. We would love the federal
cops,
funding.
He wants more money.
More money.
That's all well and good.
Right.
But we need a show on, you know, there's got to be something more than that. And by the way, I wish I had the answer. I think I have the answer for a lot of things. I don't have the answer for this.
I don't think anyone does right now.
626 news coming up. We'll take a break, come back on 720 WGN. Let me give you a little bit of this, too. I was at Disney this weekend in Universal Studios in Florida with the wonderfully talented 13-month-old Abigail Grace and my family. And we had a great time. At some point, we'll post a picture. You saw the picture of Abigail and I in our mouse hats.
Oh, my God. It was so cute. With your names on the back.
And I think I was the only 55-year-old male willing to walk around with Mickey Mouse ears, by the way.
It looked cute.
I met a bunch of people there, too. I met a bunch of listeners. You know, there's some people on the... You know, on the buses and stuff. Some people at the park that came up and said hi.
Cool.
But anyway, I got back last night just in time to catch a little bit of what I wanted to make sure I didn't miss. And that's Bruno Mars' tribute to Prince. And let me say, I knew these guys from the old days, back in the Minneapolis days.
The Time.
Morris Day and Jerome and The Time crushed it.
Oh.
They were great.
That was my favorite part of the Grammys.
They, same here. But here's a little Bruno Mars for Prince. It's all I heard. The only thing that disappointed me is in concert, this would almost always go into Purple Rain. You know, Prince would slide out of this guitar riff at the end and then slide into the beginning of Purple Rain. And I would have loved to heard Bruno Mars do Purple Rain. I didn't know Bruno Mars could play guitar like that.
I didn't know he could sing like that. I love the fact, I love what he does, but he was like channeling Prince.
Well, Bruno Mars' parents were James Brown, Little Richard, Prince... And oddly enough, Barry Manilow. I'm not quite sure how he got in there. But Bruno Mars was great. And if you DVR'd it, just make sure you don't miss The Time doing Jungle Love and the Bird.
Oh, wee.
So good.
Yeah.
So
how
good.
Long was that show? Because I got back.
Still going on.
Forever.
I got off the air at 8 o'clock in Madison. I got home, and the Grammys were still on.
Like 10:45?
Yeah.
Like that.
It was supposed to go till 10:30, and it went till about 10:40.
Well, if it wasn't for Adele starting the song over and everybody else, you know.
Again, I support Adele. Not the F-bombing, but I like the fact that she went, I'm not doing this 2 years in a row. We're not having technical problems. I'm not singing bad 2 years in a row. Start it over.
You know what? I will give her props for coming up when she accepted the first award and apologizing. I mean, she owned it. She said, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to offend anybody.
Yeah.
And then just, you know,
and then she said, if you are offended, blank you. breaking out a big story next, 720 WGN.
I have edema on my thigh, pink stuff in my eye, and I need you now. I've got a stomach pain that's low, fungus on my toe, and I need you now. He's from Central DuPage Hospital. Call Dr. Morse right now.
Sponsored by Northwestern Medicine, making people better by making medicine better. Good morning, Doc.
Hey, Steve, how are you?
Oh, a little tuckered. I don't know about you. First day back from a vacation, even a long weekend. When did I leave? Wednesday?
Wednesday.
Yep.
You know, that first day back's a little rough.
Yeah, you know, you kind of get out of that waking up at 3 in the morning.
You know what I did last night, though, which is smart, and I don't do smart things very often. I didn't take the last flight back. Took the second to last flight back. So you got back a little earlier.
Yep.
Yeah. But then I had to stay up. I mean, Doc, you know, I had to stay up and watch The Time. Those are my boys, The Time and Bruno Mars. So I didn't go to bed till 10:30 anyway. So maybe I'm an idiot.
That backfired, yeah.
How are you doing?
I think it was Duke and Daly who won the Pro-Am, by the way.
Duke and Daly. Who's Duke?
Ken Duke.
Oh, and John Daly.
Yep.
Wasn't there a celebrity?
No, Carson Daly. You just said it.
Oh, Carson Daly. I thought you said John Daly.
No,
is
no.
Ken Duke.
He is a good golfer. Carson Daly.
Ken Duke shoots 6 under par, and if I'm not mistaken, the team shoots 32 under par. So Carson Daly, 25 under par for his side of the ball.
So he's a cheater.
I didn't say that.
What was his handicap? Did they mention it?
I don't know. I just watched the end of it.
I would say a lack of discernible talent would be right up there. But he's a really nice guy. You ever watch his late show?
Carson Daly's?
I get dizzy because the camera's jumping
all over, and they do these like artsy angled shots where they're not focused on his face, and you see like a profile thing that looks like a mistake. And then he usually has a musician on, which is like from a bar down the street on, you know, on Melrose. I don't know. It's very
weird. Playing a banjo.
So, hey, Doc, let's talk about the flu after Mary Does Traffic. Is that all right with you?
Yeah, it's fine.
Dr. Kevin Most rejoins us now. What'd you do this weekend?
I was down to Raleigh, played a little golf as well. So I took the late flight home, though.
I was, I was at Disney with a 1-year-old.
Ooh,
well, she's 13 months old. Well, no, oof, she's great.
No, that would have been awesome. Are you kidding?
This kid, Ross and Lauren's daughter, obviously Abigail. This kid, for the entire weekend, you know, her entire routine has turned upside down. Not a single meltdown the entire weekend.
Oh, she had to be smiling and laughing the whole time.
So, well, I mean, she's just a great kid.
What a good kid. Waving, pointing.
Yeah, the other kids, not so much.
No.
All right, so let's talk the flu. Now, when we started off this flu conversation back in the fall before we all got flu shots from Dr. Most, you were concerned at that time that maybe this would be a really difficult flu season. Is it working out that way?
Yeah, it is. You know, we couldn't predict when it was going to hit, but it has certainly hit hard across the entire country, too. Not just Illinois, but Illinois has been hit very hard here in the past, probably 10, 14 days, still ramping up. So I think estimates are we'll probably peak next week, maybe the week after. But, yeah, it's hit us very hard this year.
And is it because the crapshoot that is figuring out which strain to make the most vaccine for was missed, or is there another reason?
Well, there could be another reason, but because it's interesting, the crapshoot guess, like you like to call it, versus the science technique that I like to call it.
Yeah, crapshoot.
Actually, they predicted very well this year, and actually the two of the strains that are hitting right now were actually in the vaccine this year. So if you got vaccinated, it's great. That being said, some interesting studies came out last month that show us that we might need to rethink the timing of our vaccine. So,
timing meaning maybe earlier or maybe later?
Yeah, maybe later. So actually, if you remember, we talked, the big thing that came out in the fall was, hey, seniors, make sure you get your shots early in the morning because of your cortisol levels and response rates. So about 5 years ago, there was a big outbreak in Europe, and they said, wow, Europe is much better at vaccinating than we are. And they had this big outbreak, and they said, wow, why did so many people get influenza when we had so many people vaccinated? And what they did is they took blood from people, and they tested antibodies, and what they showed was, boy, if we vaccinate too early, by the time a late flu season comes, we don't have protection.
Because it runs its course?
Exactly. We've always felt that, you know, you get one in the fall, you're going to be good until the spring. And what they're showing right now, and especially here in the United States where, you know, there's the flu season is almost like Christmas. You know, the sales start in July.
Mm-hmm.
So what we really need to do is to stop those people from getting vaccinated in July, because what we've shown now with three studies or four studies have shown that after 6 months, a couple of the strains, you're not going to have much protection. Two other strains, you're going to have great protection, but two strains, you're not going to have very good protection. So we really are going to be pushing next year. You're going to start to see more people say, we don't want you to get vaccinated until mid-October, because really, we haven't seen a flu hit really bad. You know, we've had it in November, but really not in September, October.
Doc, how often do you see people misdiagnose themselves? They say, oh, you know what? I'm a little under the weather. I must have the flu. And then they go see you and you say, no, that's something else, or part of the effects of a cold maybe.
Exactly. So there's two good points that you made right there. One is that, you know, the flu, a lot of people say, I think I have the flu, and in fact, they do just have a bad upper respiratory cold. And the tough part for us is to educate people to let you know, when you have the flu, it hits hard and it hits pretty quickly. You're feeling fine, and then bam, you have 103 fever, your muscle aches, and your body aches, versus I had a little sniffle, now I'm just starting to cough, now I'm a little congested. And the reason I make those differences is for influenza, if you didn't get vaccinated, we need to see you within those first 48 hours in order to give you medication that's going to help you. For the cold people, we often tell them, hey, if it's just a cold, let it run its course. So you're saying, well, make up your mind. Do you want to see us earlier? Do you want to see us later? Do you don't want to see us at all? So it's really knowing that influenza, high fever, feel like someone beat you up, and comes on very quickly.
So again, just to reiterate the timing part of this, you anticipate, though I don't think there are final decisions to have made, you anticipate that folks who are getting their shot in the summer would get it later, maybe in the fall, and those of us who got it in the fall would push it back to what, late in the year?
No, in the fall is fine. You know, I still think if you look at all these studies, they're talking about instead of people feeling like you had a full year's worth of immunity from this vaccine, you're probably seeing you're going to have more like 6 months. So if you look historically with us, influenza has hit, you know, a couple of years ago it hit in December, but most of the time it's January, February, March. So if you back it up from there, and I always want people protected by Thanksgiving because of the amount of travel and the amount, because even though we may not have influenza here, Thanksgiving is a huge travel time. Lots of people come through airports and spread disease across the country. So get it, I would say, mid-October, late October at the latest, because you want to make sure you're protected before Thanksgiving.
All right, so let's run through a couple things here. Folks didn't get the shot. Any good news there?
Yeah, two things. You know, one, you still can get the shot because this is going to go on for at least another couple months. So you are protected for the next 2 weeks, but you will get good protection. The other thing that's probably more important is people that are anti-shot, that the strains that we're seeing right now, very sensitive to Tamiflu and Relenza. So that's the point of what Andrea's question. Make sure if you think you have influenza, get in quickly, because we have to get you on that medicine within the first 48 hours for it to really work, for it to be helpful at all.
All right, and again, this is important too. Get the right shot, how do we know what the right shot is? The doctor's supposed to know, right?
Correct. The doctor will know, you know, and really the right shot for the individual, you know, under the age of, say, 55, you're just going to be asked, do you want the trivalent? In other words, you want the one that covers three strains or do you want the one that covers four? You know, value.
Load me up. Give me the max.
Exactly. Get the one that covers four. For seniors, make sure you're getting the high dose. We know your immune system does not respond as well as someone that's young and healthy, so we give you a little bit more to boost that up. And again, seniors, get it in the morning and get the high dose.
And the common sense thing, if you are sick and you have the flu, stay away from people who are sick, as in don't go to a hospital to visit a friend. I mean, you know, their immune systems are compromised already.
Can't say enough about that. You know, every hospital you walk into right now has big signs. If you're sick, you know, cover, you know, we have masks at the front door for people. Really, the bigger message is exactly what you said. Don't even come to the hospital. Don't call that individual. Instead of giving them the flu, give them a phone call. And there's another thing there, too. We don't want our employees to get sick because we're just like any other company, except we run 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, and we're taking care of sick people. We can't afford to have our med staff or our medical staff or our nursing staff devastated with influenza. That being said, our vaccination rate in the hospital is 100%. So, I mean, all our employees get the vaccine.
All right. So if people are listening now, they go, okay, Steve, normally I don't listen to you that closely because you're a fool. I'm trying to pay attention here. I like Doc most. It's my favorite segment. This is Larry Wirt talking, by the way. And they're saying, could I still get a flu shot today? Is it too late today to go get a flu shot? What's the answer?
No. If you have not gotten a flu shot, go get one today. You know, if you look around, and depending on where you work, it's amazing right now. I can't tell you how many people I saw, you know, that said, oh, my gosh, there's 10 people out from work. There's 8 people out from work. No one's even on my floor. So it is hitting now. But you have to realize that getting it today, it's not going to work for 2 weeks. So if you say, oh, you know what, I'll get it towards the end of the week, every day you postpone is just pushing it back. And eventually you're going to hit to a point where it's like, well, the influenza peak has occurred. It's now waning down. And now the vaccine is really not going to be worth much as far as protection.
I'm scanning a bunch of texter questions. What if you're allergic to eggs is one of them?
Yes, don't have to worry about egg allergies anymore. You just have to make sure that the where you get it is a cell-based vaccine, which is almost the majority of them now. So just ask your doctor if you have a cell-based vaccine and you're able to get it because there's no eggs used in that.
Finally, do you have any idea what happened to Solange Knowles' hair last night at the Grammys? No? Nothing? No,
no.
Idea? Okay.
No.
Okay.
It's a medical mystery.
It's a medical
yeah.
mystery for us. Thanks, buddy. Have a great week. I'll talk to you soon.
You got it. Take care.
Dr. Kevin Moe, sponsored by Northwestern Medicine, making people better by making medicine better.
This is the Steve Cochran Show.
Hello, I'm Leon. I used to be an unhappy stockbroker, but I gave it up to travel the world and discover human kindness. Now, I'm a TV host, and best of all, I get to spend each day giving back, because kindness is all around us. You just have to know where to look.
7:15, you can get sucked into the bad news all the time and start feeling really bad about life in general. And then a story like this comes along and you go, well, you know what? The world is a good place. Leon, let me see if I can get this one. Leon Logothetis joins us. Am I even close, Leon?
Yes, you are, actually.
All right. So, Leon Logothetis, Random Act of Kindness Week is on. But let's back this up for a second. Tell me about your YouTube series.
Yeah, it's actually on Netflix. It's called The Kindness Diaries. And I traveled around the world on a vintage yellow motorbike, relying on the kindness of strangers, but with a twist. I would give unsuspecting Good Samaritans a life-changing gift.
Well, before I ask about the gift, I knew you were coming to Netflix in February. Is the show up now?
Yes.
Okay, so you can see it on Netflix today?
Yes.
Excellent. All right. Life-changing gifts. Can you give me an example of one?
Absolutely. So I was in Pittsburgh, and I met this chap. I asked whether I could stay in his house, which is what I would do on the journey. And he told me, unfortunately, that he was homeless. But this is where the amazing thing happens. He said to me, you know what? If you want, you can stay with me tonight. I'll feed you. I'll protect you. I'll give you some clothes. And that's exactly what he did. And he showed me that true wealth is not in our wallets, but in our hearts. The next morning, I was honored to be able to put him up in an apartment and send him back to school.
How great is that? It's tremendous. Now, tell everybody again, in case they missed the intro, what were you doing before you started taking this on as your mission in life?
I was a broker in London. And on the outside, I had everything. But on the inside, I had nothing, really.
Because when you think about it, and I'm not slamming brokers, but broker, to be great, Leon, correct me if I'm wrong, to be great at being a broker, you got to be pretty self-centered. You got to be really concerned about your clients, about your about you getting it done to the point where you can convince your clients to spend more money and so on and so on. Isn't that the cycle?
I think to a certain degree, absolutely. Not for everyone. I don't want to get hate mail from brokers, but there is an element of truth to that.
And I suppose there's an element of truth to that to all of us. We all have, fairly personal, selfish agendas on some point. At some point, but to turn it around and be able to grant these folks life-changing experiences just because they did something kind for you, Well, that's the ultimate pay it forward. So I have no doubt you walk around with a goofy smile on your face all day.
I do try.
Leon, do you see a lot of people, maybe obviously those of us who can't afford to buy someone a home or a car, do you see it on a smaller level too with people buying? You hear all these stories now about you go up to the line at Starbucks and somebody's paid it forward.
I've had that happen recently.
Yeah, me too.
Absolutely. And the reality is it's not about these big gestures. It's about how you live your life on a daily basis. It's about how you show up in the world. It's about how you treat other people. It's about how you treat yourself. And these are all small things that kind of snowball into big things.
You know, and there is not enough niceness and kindness in the world. You see it in not holding a door for somebody. You see it in basic manners going away. You see it in customer service that's not what it used to be. As a matter of fact, to the point where if you see good customer service, it really stands out, where that used to be the norm, now it's kind of the exception. So I think you're changing the world yourself, Leon, because the more of this it happens and the more paying forward it does. Somebody does something nice for you, you always want to go do something nice for somebody, right?
Absolutely. And it really is, everyone can do it on a small level. You can do a big thing. You can quit your job and go out into the world, but you can do it small today when you go and pick up your Starbucks coffee. Smile at the barista. Thank them. Tell them to have a lovely day. It's a small thing, but it all adds up.
Before I let you go, tell me about the Chicago edition.
Actually, I love Chicago. I've been there quite a few times. And the only thing is, it's always so, except in the summer, but in the winter, it's so cold, it's unbearable. I live in L.A., so I have constant sun. But Chicago is a wonderful place.
You can tell by your accent, you're more of a Southern California guy. So we can see the Kindness Diaries now on Netflix. There's also a book called Live, Love, and Explore, self-help travel memoir. What would you compare it to?
I'd say it's the male version of Eat, Pray, Love.
Well, that did okay. I hope you do just as well.
Let's hope.
Best way to follow you and what you're doing, other than watching the Kindness Diaries, is what? Should we get on Twitter and follow you, or Facebook, or what?
Yeah, you can get on Twitter, you can get on Facebook, and I always respond to messages. Whatever you send me, I will respond.
And what is your handle?
It's at Leon Logothetis, which is a bit of a tough one, Logothetis.
Couldn't you have just gone with that Leon logo? Did you have to throw in the thetis?
I guess you're right. I should have.
Thanks. Keep up the great work. I appreciate you being on.
Thanks so much.
And Random Act of Kindness Week this week goes on through the 18th. So what are you going to do to be nice to somebody today?
You know what I did over the weekend? I ordered a pizza, and I was leaving the building, and there was a homeless couple right outside the parking lot, so I gave it to them.
A homeless couple?
Yeah.
Wow.
It was a homeless couple. They were pushing a baby carriage. And under Lower Wacker, this year I've noticed a lot of tents being put up.
Yeah.
Homeless.
Well, north side on Lawrence, too.
Yeah, communities.
Off of Lakeshore Drive.
Exactly, yeah, under the viaduct there.
Yeah.
So communities. So I said, do you live there? And she said, yes. And she said, we have a baby. So I gave them the pizza, and they said, you don't know what this means. This is dinner.
Wow.
So,
well, nicely done by you. Well, Steve Grzanich ordered a pizza this weekend, and he ate it.
I heard that.
Which is different than what you did. It's 7:22. Let's take a break, come back. I just got back from Disney, so I'll tell you about a few things at Disney and Universal this weekend with Abigail Grace, World's Greatest Grandchild, and Ross and Lauren and Amy and Warren. And everybody, we had a wonderful time. So you know, sometimes just get away for 4 or 5 days is cool.
Yep. We want to hear stories, too.
But when you like your job the way I like this job, you want to get back.
Yeah.
So that's cool. Missed you back. And Pete didn't destroy us.
Well, not that we know of.
Pete is, but Pete is trying. Well, we can talk about this in a second. Mary, you probably know this. Pete is trying to stab me in the back to get this show, isn't he?
Oh, no.
Well.
he killed El Giro, so I don't know about what his chances are.
He didn't
now.
Bring us any food, though, or anything, Andrea. He wasn't bribing.
He did have a couple of his friends from restaurants, though.
Oh, that's true.
Cota del Volpe came
in. Oh, that's right. Oh, yeah. That's really good,
Home
Run
and Pizza, yeah.
And Steve, stabbing in the back would seem to indicate he was doing it surreptitiously, and I don't think that's
No, he's right out front of it.
Yeah. That was a big word, Dave. I like that.
I got a text from my friend Dan the Lobster Man. You know, I've known Dan for 25 years.
Great guy.
And Dan texts me and goes, I hope those are lobster, Graham, lobster claws or whatever. Didn't you, you guys apparently had lobster on the air or something?
We did?
We did?
What? What? No.
Maybe it was
I was talking about cooking grilling lobster tomorrow night.
That's what it was.
For Valentine's
Day. So he was talking about making lobster for Valentine's Day.
Yeah.
Dan texts me like, you better be lobster. I go, Dan, I'm in Florida. Right. I'm not even on the air.
Have him call us. We love the lobster.
He can bring some tomorrow.
I don't have the lobster tails
apparently
he's yet.
Wandering off into the woods.
We love the lobster, Graham.
Bring it on.
Yeah, Dan's great. I'm clueless, but great. I'll put this picture up of Abigail Grace and me and our mouse ears. Our Mickey Mouse ears.
Oh, it's so cute. It's the Mickey
Mouse. That's a strong look for me. Thought it enhanced my forehead. So, do you own mouse ears, Dave? Mickey Mouse ears?
I don't have any at the present time. Well, I was hoping you would bring me some. Yeah.
So, but this was Amy Cochran's birthday weekend. You know, she could have done anything she wanted. She could have gone somewhere with friends. But no, she wanted to bring her niece, Abigail Grace, and the family to Orlando.
How cool.
And I thought, you know, I thought, well, of course, I love my family. I want to spend time with my family. But I thought, she's only one, right?
Yeah.
But it's fun watching her do everything for the first time.
How cute.
Right? I mean, all these experiences, like, it's the first time she's ever done that. First time she's ever done that. And she was a great kid all weekend. But for those of you wondering how young is too young, I think by a year, a little over a year, you know, the kids are aware enough where they can get something out of the experience. Now, they're not going to remember it, but that's what taking 10,000 pictures is for.
Right.
And Universal Studios has this new Harry Potter thing. Now, I'm not a Harry Potter guy. Ross tells me I'm a Hufflepump. Or is it a Hufflepump? Or is that actually... Is that a reality show?
He meant a love pump.
No, that's
a
totally
Puffalump?
Different.
Hufflepump is something else.
Yeah.
What's mm-hmm. I may be confusing this with the Real Housewives of Beverly Hills, the Harry Potter thing at Universal is insane. Like, I saw enough of the movies to know you walk in, the movie sets are right there. It's brilliantly redone. They spent a couple hundred million bucks to get it right, but they got it right. But you walk around, these people, let me tell you something about the Harry Potter people. You don't want to mess with the Harry Potter people.
No.
There's people walking around with capes, and everybody thinks you're a wizard. There's magic wands left and right. Are they magic wands, or are they just Harry Potter ones? I don't know. I just felt like a spell was going to get whooped on me really quick if I turned into a wise guy.
You don't mean a muggle, do you?
I don't know. Do
I? Hufflepuff.
I'm a Hufflepuff.
Yes. That's what a texter just texted.
Wasn't there a Hufflepump like a...
Puff.
Wasn't there a Hufflepump on that Real Housewives show?
Oh, a Hufflepuff.
Hufflepuff.
Oh, Vanderpump. I'm being told it's a Vanderpump.
What are you saying? Nice. Oh, yeah. Vanderpump Rules? That's actually a funny show.
Wait a minute. You left Wednesday?
Yeah.
And you came back yesterday?
Yeah.
How many theme park days did you actually do?
Everyone.
You went to both Disney, how many parks did you go to?
So you go to Universal on day one.
Yeah.
And then you go over to Disney. And then we did the Animal Kingdom.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
So that's three.
Which is
Epcot?
Great.
Did you go there?
Oh, no, we didn't do Epcot.
No.
Did Animal Kingdom, did Magic Kingdom, and Disney Hollywood. And I've been to Disney Hollywood a bunch of times because we used to do shows there. About once a year, Disney would have us down to do shows.
MGM?
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm.
Did they invite us again, by the way?
No. And I did a couple of Disney cruises. But you go back, and there's a lot of updated things there. Now, there's a couple things in the Magic Kingdom which, frankly, need a little spit shine.
Like the hippos, right?
Well, some of the animatronic stuff that the kids still love.
Yeah.
But the amazing thing is, I swear to you, I probably first took the kids to Disney when Amy was a year or two old. So that's 28 years ago, right? It's a Small World. Hasn't changed a bit. They have dusted off everything, and it's still... just as delightful for everybody. Now, I will advise you this. If you're 55 years old with bad knees, don't ride in the front of the boat.
Those are small carts.
It's a small boat after all.
Did you get that stuck in your head too all day?
No, it was cool. Because, again, it's like, Dave, you remember this when your kids are little and Mary? You stare at your kid watching something.
Yeah. Or video them joy. As they're staring at it.
Yeah.
Did you go to the Hall of Presidents?
Closed.
What?
Permanently?
No. They had to update it.
Oh. Who closed? Oh, wait.
I think they're putting
in. Oh, no.
They're putting in Trump?
Well, they're putting in Trump, but they have to decide if they're putting in Trump and it's removable. it can only be in there for a little while.
Right.
But no, it was close. But then they had the Muppets next door doing this whole independence thing with fireworks and a patriotic deal.
That's cool.
In the building next door.
I want to go back. Do they still do the parade with
the fireworks at night?
Yeah. They did about 47 parades.
Oh, God. Yeah.
I love that.
Yeah. And if you get there, and I didn't even know I was a fan of this. They got a Dole pineapple stand. I love pineapple. Mm. They got a fresh pineapple stand with something called Dole Whip. You know what Dole Whip is?
Oh, it's like an orange whip, right? Like
it's a soft serve pineapple ice cream. Oh, buddy.
Oh, there you go.
You don't need anything other than that.
Wow. There you go.
You're done for the day.
Did you pose for any pictures with characters?
There were a lot of characters who were keeping their eye on me. But the characters, it was 80 degrees. And you would think, you bring that into July when it's 90.
Yeah.
And you're walking around in a beast costume. Oh, buddy. I'm telling you. You may be questioning your career options at that point. But again, it's cool seeing the other little kids and, the big wide eyes. People from countries all. Disney, I got to say, I think this Disney thing's going to catch on.
You have to put that picture up of you two with the ears, the mouse ears. So cute.
Yeah, well, she's a fabulous kid. I don't know if I told you. Now, I'm going to be spending the afternoon with her today, so that's six straight days, and so far she's not sick of me.
Well, that you know of.
That's true. She doesn't talk that
much. Does she know that you're coming over yet?
She says a lot of words, but it's not saying, those type of things. crackers, no, go, those type of things.
You again?
Yes. It's weird. She did say that perfectly. You again. But I would just say, if you're worried about a little kid at Disney, I think the joy you get out of watching the little kid at Disney, and obviously the video and the pictures and stuff, is well worth the effort. It certainly wasn't our case.
Back to the Steve Cochran Show.
The message we're sending to the world right now is a message of strength and solidarity. We stand with Japan and we stand with our allies in the region to address the North Korean menace.
This is a missile that we've known has been in development for quite a while. The way they shot it was not terribly provocative, but the fact that it happened just as President Trump and Prime Minister Abe were sitting down to cocktails last night tells us that Kim Jong-un wanted to remind the world that he was still there and still relevant.
There's a 10% or a 20% chance that I can talk him out of those damn nukes, because who the hell wants him to have nukes? And there's a chance.
There's a 10% or 20% chance I can talk him out of the nukes. That was a campaign moment with President Trump before he was President Trump. And the world was a different place then. This weekend, there was a Saturday night press conference. Oh, by the way, I have to correct one thing quickly. Mary asked about the nighttime parade at Disney. Do they still do it? No, they don't. Not at Disney World. They're doing it at Disneyland temporarily. They're doing a new nighttime show coming to Disney. I said there's parades all the time. There are. There's like 47 parades. But at night, they do fireworks shows all over the parks.
Cool.
Just so you know. The amount of money I spent this weekend in Orlando, what am I doing commercials for them for? All right. So Michael Auslan joins us. Michael has been on the show before. We love Michael. Wall Street Journal contributor and an expert on politics, not just in Asia, but around the world. And good morning, Michael. How are you?
Good morning, Steve. Doing great, thanks.
Nice to have you back. What can you tell us about, A, what Kim Jong-un pulled off? Because, look, there's no question he's the craziest dictator in the world, in my mind. Is he legitimately the most dangerous, or is that only when he gets fully nuked up?
Well, if he's crazy, he could be crazy like a fox, because, what he's done is essentially this medieval hermit kingdom has tied down the U.S. Gulliver for decades now under multiple U.S. presidents. So he, his father, and his grandfather have figured out the secret sauce to ensuring that they're really, it's almost like a funhouse hall of mirrors totalitarian dictatorship survives. You would think that they would have been gone decades ago because of their brutality or because they had attacked other nations and that the world would have figured out it's better to get rid of these guys. That's why I think Trump has a 0% chance of talking him out of the nukes. There's no way they're ever going to give those things up, because that's what today at least ensures they're going to keep surviving.
Shouldn't there be more pressure from China? And has China lost control of Kim Jong-un to some extent?
Yeah, I think that's more likely. You know, we in Washington, partly because we feel so impotent and frustrated with the fact that we can't get anywhere with this regime, no matter how much we promise them or how much we threaten them, even though the truth is we don't do it that much. So we turn to China as the magic key and say, well, you know, of course, they control the oil and they control the money and so on and so forth. And that's true to the extent that China has decided it's better to have a slightly crazy North Korea as a thorn in the side of the United States than risk what would be a unified Korean peninsula, probably tilting toward the U.S. and maybe even Japan. So the Chinese are sort of caught. They've hamstrung themselves. I don't think they have control over this guy. Don't forget, one of the first things he did as an untested young leader was execute their man in North Korea, who also happened to be his uncle. So he either blew him apart by anti-aircraft guns or fed him to wild dogs. We don't know which. But it was one of those two. And that, I think, pretty much sent a message to the Chinese that, you know, this guy is uncontrollable. You know, at the end of the day, I think the North Koreans understand that either the Chinese or the United States could go in and clean up this regime fairly quickly. And so everyone sort of walks this fine line. The Chinese like that North Korea is a pain for us. North Korea knows that it can dance up to the line of war, but if they back off, then we're not going to do anything. And for the U.S., we just sort of have sat back for years saying we just hope it's not going to get as bad as it ever really does.
Well, why do we walk the fine line? And, Michael, every time he tests, doesn't he lose the missile? I know maybe that's a strange question, but isn't it like firing all the bullets out of your gun and then you have no bullets left? I mean, because don't the missiles just go into the sea?
Yeah, they do. I mean, you know, overall, though, these things are pretty cheap to build. It's much more expensive for us to try to defend against these things. You know, once you get a lot of them, you know, then we don't have that many ways to shoot them down. And worse, the real reason I think we haven't tried to shoot them down is we just don't know if it's going to work. You know, and if it doesn't work, then you know, it's like stripping the emperor's clothes off and suddenly everyone sees that you can't protect yourself. But from their, you know, from their perspective, these things aren't that expensive to build, and they, you know, they're getting Iranian money because the Iranians are waiting for them to perfect a long-range ballistic missile tech capability and technology that they're going to buy from them. So the Iranians help subsidize them. The North Koreans run counterfeiting schemes, and they have illicit they ship illicit cigarettes and drugs and the like. So they're getting a lot of money on the black market. And it's much better for them to spend that money shooting off these missiles to remind everyone that they can do it and that basically we continue to be somewhat helpless in the face of it.
Yeah, and when it goes to what we feel we know about Kim Jong-un is maybe you don't need China when you've got plenty of money, when you feel like your people are developing your Mad Hatter sequence of events, and most importantly to this scenario, you don't need a lot of money to take care of the people in your country because you're okay with them starving to death. I mean, that's who this guy is, right?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, you know, it is unimaginable what life is like in North Korea. Did you know that the average North Korean is 5 inches shorter than his South Korean counterpart because of malnutrition?
How about that?
So these people starve their entire lives unless, of course, they're in the military. The military is given all the money it needs. It's given, it's flush. And so, of course, they are loyal to this regime, which will show that if you even entertain the hint of opposing them, they're going to blow you up with anti-aircraft guns. So, you know, the messages have been sent loud and clear. This guy has, look, we didn't even know he existed for a couple of years, until a couple of years before he took power. And he has, again, consolidated his power. There is a ruthlessness that we really don't understand with these folks, and I think that deters us. We're just afraid that, short of an actual full on war in which we go in and clean them out, that the damage they could do is so extraordinary, we don't want to test them. And the problem is we could have done a lot of things probably 20 years ago that would have kept these guys in their box a lot more. But today, the truth is, we failed. They're a nuclear power, and we're going to have to wake up and accept that at some point in time.
A highly respected former general told me off the record many years ago, and it certainly isn't any different now, we don't want to fight with North Korea because that army is big and vicious and will die for their cause. And that's a hot mess we don't want. Having said that, you mentioned Japan before. And by the way, all of this is so well detailed in the End of the Asian Century not just the politics of today, but the background for all of this. It's Michael Osland's book, The End of the Asian Century, which I would advise everybody gets. And, you know, Mike, I don't know if I've ever said this, but get two copies. You're careless, you'll lose one.
Thank you.
Yeah, and get it wherever books are. All right, so you mentioned Japan before. We saw the president with the prime minister of Japan this weekend. Does Kim Jong-un care what Donald Trump and the president of Japan think at this point? Or is it the prime minister? I apologize.
Yeah, the prime minister, I think he does, and much more importantly in a way is that China does. You know, what China was hoping is it was during the campaign was that they were going to – they knew they had their own problems with Trump, but what they thought was that they were going to be able to really drive a wedge in the alliance between Washington and Tokyo because Trump was talking about, you know, Japan has to pay more and – you know, it's like NATO, it's obsolete, I don't know why we're doing this. And so China really saw an opportunity because without Japan, we just, you know, the U.S. really doesn't have a military position in Asia. It's just, it's the, you know, the main area for our bases and our troops and the participation and cooperation we do with them. You know, there's a lot of people who think that, well, it's far away and we shouldn't be, you know, we shouldn't be out there anyway. But the Chinese really thought this was their chance. So when Prime Minister Abe comes to D.C. and then gets flown down on Air Force One to Florida, which is really rare for a foreign leader. And then they're out to dinner with their wives and they're golfing. Again, Beijing goes, well, you know, there's an opportunity we lost. And, you know, I give a lot of credit to the Trump administration for figuring out that you really need this ally because you don't have a lot of other allies right now in Asia you can 100% count on. And the Japanese, they figured it out the way to get into his head, to talk, the, you know, we're the good partner and make a personal relationship. You saw Trump in that press conference was talking about hugging Abe when he got out of the car. That's fine. If, you know, that's the way that you get him on your side. That's perfect. But I think the geopolitical importance is that there's really no daylight now between Washington and Tokyo, which is going to be very significant as we figure out how we're going to try to stop China from continuing to be belligerent in the South China Sea or deal with North Korea or these other things.
Last question on this, and we'll let you go. Again, it's Michael Osland on the book, The End of the Asian Century. The South Korean mess politically makes them more vulnerable than ever, yes or no?
Absolutely. This is something I'm glad you mentioned, Steve. I think people need to pay a lot more attention for a whole bunch of reasons. I'll be quick about it. But first of all, South Korea as a vibrant democracy in Asia is just it's important. It's a beacon of what how a country can move from military dominated authoritarianism to democracy. And so the instability of the corruption that led to the former president, she's still the president, but her impeachment and soon removal. The fact that politics is in an uproar means that, you know, we want to send signals that democracy is important and you should be following it. It's not just a bad deal for you. Second, as an ally, what is probably going to happen is we're going to get a left-wing government in Korea. The question is how far left-wing? And does that mean it's going to be tilting towards China and North Korea as it did in the 1990s? And a much more powerful China, by the way, than in the 1990s? Or will it still stay pretty close with us? So this is going to be a major issue for the Trump administration as they try to figure out how do they maintain our alliances and our relationships there. Because the bottom line is we just want stability in Asia. We want it to remain an economic powerhouse. We want it to be closely allied with us. And these problems, if we don't pay attention to them, are really going to dominate as in a crisis mode the way that we're operating over the next 4 years. That's why I think the Japan visit was important. And one last thing to mention, Steve, you know, the president's being criticized for backing down on his one China policy statements, and he said now he'll support it. I think it's the right thing to do now. It buys him time, get a full team in place, figure out your full policy. The Chinese know that you raised it and you can bring it back if necessary. There was no reason to push it too far today. So right now I'd say they're sort of muddling through in a pretty good way. Let's just find out what they're actually going to do about these things.
Michael Osland, Wall Street Journal contributor. You can actually read him everywhere and read his book, The End of the Asian Century. Thanks as always.
Thank you.
See you later. It's great. It's just great.
Fantastic. Explains everything the way you need. Did you see that crazy picture of Kim Jong-un, too, standing next to the ballistic missile being fired?
He's a lunatic.
It's insane.
Literally a lunatic. And the factual statement that he made there, which everybody needs to hear, that the North Korean people are the average North Korean male is 5 inches shorter than his South Korean counterpart because of a lack of nutrition.
Yeah. Malnutrition, just the way they're treated.
So the little leader of the country is starving his country to death.
Yep.
And he doesn't care.
Ladies and gentlemen.
Dean Richards joins us from Channel 9.
Citizens of the world.
Some of the world's greatest entertainers are here tonight.
Ladies and gentlemen, may I present to you.
And tonight, guess what? It's going to be Dean.
Yeah, Hollywood. You know I love you more than what I should. Yeah, Hollywood. Well, kiss me, kiss me good.
Oh, my mic was on?
How did you not get a Grammy Award?
I should have gotten a Grammy.
For best
no question about
vocal
it.
Performance.
You know, Gaga doing the thing with Metallica. Is there a more talented artist in America than Gaga?
I don't think so. I mean, I was thinking about that while she was doing a stage dive and performing with Metallica, that she's also the one, I think it was at the Oscars last year, who sang The Sound of Music and brought tears to everybody's
Pretty
eye.
Good range. Metallica to The Sound of Music.
Tony toured with Tony Bennett and knocked it out of the park.
President Trump tweeted this morning, fake stage dive.
Speaking of that, this is so interesting. I think we've come to a place in America right now where you can't just have a different opinion from somebody anymore. You have to get into fisticuffs no matter how lame the subject. Never put the politics aside for a second. I was tweeting and posting things about the Grammys last night. Really, whether I like the Bee Gees tribute or not is not a subject that should be of great controversy and one worth calling me nasty names. It's a Bee Gees tribute.
Yeah.
I just didn't happen to like it.
No, and listen, the Bee Gees sound is so unique that it's sweet that people would sing their songs, but none of them sounded like, you know, a Bee Gees tribute.
It didn't sound like the Bee Gees, but here's my thing. They sang four of their songs, all of them from Saturday Night Fever.
Mm-hmm.
The Bee Gees had a really big, well, not all of them, one of their songs, Tragedy, which is what the tribute was, Tragedy.
Hold on, I'm tweeting you something nasty right now.
God, Dean's so political.
By the way, if you're wondering what account it's coming from, I also tweet under the name of Demi Lovato.
I thought she sounded great. In that tribute, I thought she sounded the best.
Well, they all sing fine, but
just,
you know.
It wasn't encompassing of the Bee Gees' career.
Right.
It was a few of their songs that were sung okay. Honestly, I felt like I was on a cruise ship on a Salute to Disco night.
Totally agree.
That's what it felt like to me.
Which was the Bee Gee watching, the one that's alive?
That was Barry.
Oh, he's the last
Barry.
Surviving
that's what
Bee Gee.
I thought. Okay.
That's Barry.
Yeah.
Well, there's the other brother they don't talk about, Mo.
Jimmy.
Mo Bee Gee.
Mo.
Well, nobody could sing in there.
Mo Gibbs.
Mo Gibb.
Nobody can sing that high. Nobody could sing up there.
No.
They should have had, like, Tiny Tim come in.
None of the Bee Gees were born with testicles. A lot of people don't know that.
Enjoy your breakfast, everyone.
Tiny Tim could have tiptoed through the whole thing.
Yeah, so, I mean, that was just one.
Now, here's a couple other performances
I
that are making
the,
news.
Did you like the Prince tribute?
I love The Time because, you know, I know those guys from back in the day, and they're just as good. And I did the Jerome thing on stage a couple times, where you hold up the mirror for Morris Day.
Yeah,
that's pretty cool. But I wanted more out of Bruno Mars. I really wanted Bruno Mars to drop in to Purple Rain. I wanted an extra song.
I would have liked a little more than just the one song.
Let's Go Crazy.
In these tributes. Same with the George Michael. I mean, that whole George Michael thing is interesting on its own because Adele wanted to do such justice to it. I give her credit for stopping. And
I
saying,
do too.
Let's do it again.
Yeah,
she wanted it to be perfect.
I would have liked to seen her stop as many times as she needs.
And swear as much as she wanted to also.
Yeah, what is with that though? I mean,
Blue Ivy is in the front row. You
gotta
watch the kids.
Yeah.
You know what? Do kids need to be at the Grammy Awards?
That's what I said, Dean.
Do kids need to come to the Grammy Awards? Come on.
Get a babysitter. You can afford it.
I think it was cute though.
I'm not sure they care.
Watching her
they
mom.
Did bring a friend for her to hang out with.
Can you see Jay-Z being frustrated calling babysitter after babysitter? Oh, I've called 8 of the teenagers in the neighborhood. Nobody's available.
Jay-Z has to leave to drive the babysitter home.
And the mom couldn't do it. She was introducing Beyonce.
She was very busy.
What was the deal with that? I didn't understand that either.
That was really neat. Beyonce's mom introduced
Did you like the Beyonce performance?
I thought it was okay. I
didn't see it.
I understood her point and motherhood and celebrating because she had her mom introducer, and Blue Ivy was in the front, and they kept cutting to her.
Of you who don't know, Blue Ivy is a child.
Yes, sorry. That's Beyonce's baby. I thought it was...
They have a new horticulture segment on the gram.
See, I would have rather her saying, you know, single ladies and danced and, you know, done that whole production, but I understand her point was motherhood and womanhood and women empowering. I thought it was okay.
I get it. I was scratching my head during the whole thing.
Yeah. She could have done it for like half of the song and then broke out in something else.
That would have been nice.
That would have been.
Big night for Chance the Rapper.
He took home 3 Grammy Awards. This whole thing is interesting.
Is he a nice kid?
You know, I've never spoken with him face to face.
Have you ever freestyled with him?
I not since I freestyled with Lin-Manuel Miranda last year.
Yeah.
It's now officially Donald Trump has signed an executive order making it illegal for me to ever freestyle again.
Hashtag fake freestyling.
That's right. So I covered a couple of his concerts.
Uh-huh.
I really appreciate what he's done. A lot of people have said, how does he win Best New Artist? He's been around forever. This is the first year that he's been eligible for Grammy because the Academy changed their rules that artists who have released music online can now be nominated. In the past, it had to be you had to have records sold, you know, through conventional outlets. They opened it up to online music this year. Opened it up to Chance because he has only released his music online. So that makes it his 3 wins historic: best new artist, best rap performance, best rap,
best White Sox fan
album, best guy wearing a baseball cap during the entire show.
I don't understand. The timing of the awards in general, though, because I love Adele, but Hello came out in 1987. How is that eligible for Song of the Year?
That's a good question. I was wondering that,
Jimmy Carter was in office when Hello came out. It just missed the deadline for last year. That was the reason why.
Well, shouldn't the deadline be December 31st of the previous year? Means you know.
I don't remember exactly what the exact parameters.
Can you get your best people on it?
Well, I'm doing that as I speak. Actually, I've got my best person on it right now. I'm doing it myself.
More of the Grammys coming up here in just a second, and we'll ask Dean what he thinks of James Corden's performance, the politics of the night, and other. And the underboob. Dean's rating of the underboob.
A lot of underboob.
Yeah. Hello.
Underboob. It's 8:21. It's time for Mary to do your traffic update.
Hello.
Hi.
You'll be calling his name. Oh, 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 oh. Dean Richard, the entertainment editor. Channel 972. Oh, 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 oh.
Back to Dean at Channel 9. We're talking about the Grammys. All right, let's go to fashion. Andrea, do you have a top 3 outfits that Dean could confirm or deny?
Dean, I'm thinking, well, I know you guys are going to talk about best boobs, and Beyonce and Gaga probably are in a tie.
I
got to
say, J-Lo's boobs were pretty spectacular.
Dean?
Yeah.
I mean, J-Lo's almost 50.
I put the top 3 fashions as Faith Hill, beautiful in a red dress.
She looks unbelievable.
Mm-mm.
Stunning. Mm-mm. I thought Katy Perry.
Who's the guy in the hat that's always with her?
Tim McGraw.
That is Tim McGraw.
Right? Oh,
that's her husband. Yeah. Katy Perry. I thought that was kind of cool, the silver shimmery on top and the faux fur on the bottom. And I have
By
to
the
say,
way, Katy Perry got herself some internet troubles last night. On the red carpet, she made some joke about Britney Spears' meltdown and shaving her head. As the internet pointed out, mental health jokes, not so funny.
Yeah. Not so much at all. And I thought, Paris Jackson, did you see her?
She's a beautiful girl.
Beautiful.
Yeah, beautiful girl.
70s kind of throwback style, Dean. I thought that was just a beautiful dress.
She's very pretty. Here's what I have to say about Faith Hill's dress. It was exactly the same as Carrie Underwood's dress.
Did they switch out in backstage or something?
I think they were sharing a dress.
Who wore it best?
Trying to cut costs. They were sharing a dress backstage.
That is so awkward when you go to a big award show and you're in the same dress.
No, like they back were in my... different. One was more shimmery with more beads, Carrie's was. The other one was just kind of plain.
Mm-hmm.
Really?
No, they were pretty similar. Mm. And then I had the weirdest as... What the heck was CeeLo Green? He was like kind of a C-3PO, Jabba the Hutt, weird.
He was like a... Like a gold lame rock man.
Yeah.
I thought he was a fire hydrant.
Rock, rock person. He definitely had the weirdest attire.
And girl, who is the girl wearing the Chuck E. Cheese balls?
That's Girl Crush.
Yeah.
That's a girl?
She's an L.A. pop star.
Pop vocalist.
Yeah.
Her name's Girl Crush?
Girl Crush. Yeah, what? Like, that's weird? What? Nobody was wearing meat products last night. I was very disappointed in that.
Yeah, with you on that. The performances, I thought, were terrific. What about the politics? Too much or right amount?
I was surprised there were so little politics,
right.
Really. James Corden had a couple of Trump jokes in the beginning. Tribe Called Quest, if anything, did probably the most searing statement about the president and all that's going on.
A lot
in
of the white people in the room are looking for the transcript.
Right now it was. If you're not a rap fan, maybe a little difficult. Katy Perry made kind of a political statement of her, in her musical tribute that was underscoring the principles of the Constitution. Wasn't directed. I mean, I suppose it was indirectly aimed at the president because she was a big Hillary Clinton supporter. But really, all she was talking about were the principles of the Constitution. And if you're against that, you're just not American.
And the Liberty Bell is temporarily being housed in Katy Perry's cleavage. A lot of people don't know that. True story. And
so suddenly the crack is repaired.
Exactly. That's my point.
I'm talking about the bell, by
yes.
the way.
Yes. I thought James Corden was good.
I thought he was okay.
You done with him?
I'm not done with him. I'm just not. I just think it was. That's a lot to be the ringmaster of.
Mm-hmm.
That's a big, busy show. And I guess I got used to LL Cool J the last couple of years, being just really introducing people, now trying to do comedy. I wasn't crazy about that opening number, the big pratfall. Just didn't seem like anything special. The carpool karaoke thing was cute, where he had Neil Diamond sing Sweet Caroline and other people who apparently have never heard that song, Sweet Caroline.
Yeah, how
singing,
funny was that?
Despite the fact that they had cue cards and teleprompters for them with the
Is
words.
Is it ba-ba-ba or ba-ba-ba?
It's tricky.
And why couldn't anybody read the cue cards? Everybody was like, I can't see it.
Right. Oh, yeah. Well, you mean while they're on stage?
Yes,
right.
Yes. There were a couple. Well, John Travolta, he was one of them.
Well, yeah. And, the teleprompter that they have is the letters in the words are about the size of a human being.
Yeah, they're huge.
They're gigantic, yeah. on a giant, like, diamond vision thing.
Travolta's probably the toupee glue. After a while, it'll make you blind.
That may be. Why was and also shouldn't have John Travolta been in the Bee Gees tribute?
Oh sure,
yeah,
that total
I
sense.
Actually thought he was going
shouldn't
to be.
Shouldn't he have
yeah.
been part of that?
That'd make total sense. Plus, it'd been fun to see him dance.
I would have liked to, and I'll bet he would have done a good job with it as well.
All right, so there's your Grammys recap. We have to go back to one thing. This is a point of controversy this morning on the show. While I was out, Dean and Andrea killed El Giro. Al Jarreau died over the weekend, 78 years old. Couldn't be a nicer man, at least in my experience with him.
Very much so.
And great, great voice. Maybe crossover from jazz to kind of pop hits.
He's a 7-time Grammy winner. He's the only Grammy winner who has won awards in pop, jazz, and R&B.
And do you know
That's
the
versatility.
Do you know the famous TV theme that he did?
The Cybill Shepherd, Bruce Willis show, Moonlight.
Oh, I was thinking of Alf.
Moonlight's that movie that's
Come
out now.
Muck by Night. You remember that? Yeah.
I just want to apologize for my part in that.
Yeah, team. Why did you guys do that? Why?
I'm backing out of this because I think it was more Pete
I do
Murray
too, Dean.
Who killed him than us.
Me too.
But
since
isn't that like
not here,
Thursday?
Mostly because he's not here to
we're throwing
defend
him
himself.
Right
isn't
under that bus.
Thursday the two of you were discussing or the three of you were discussing whether or not he's still alive?
No, we discussed. I can only speak for what I said.
Okay.
I thought you had the audio, Dean.
I accurately reported the story.
Mm-hmm. He did.
Because I'm not fake news that he was retiring from touring. That was the story then, that he was in the hospital with exhaustion.
Right.
Apparently.
Who's not tired?
Much, much sicker than they were letting on in the beginning. Because
sure.
He issued a statement saying, thanks everybody for 50 years of, great concerts and blah, blah, blah. And then I believe if we go to the transcript, it was Mr. McMurray who said, isn't he dead? I thought he was already dead.
I would go to the logic of that statement after you just said he issued a statement saying he was retiring. I'm not sure why a dead guy would do that.
I think it was
Pete,
before the big announcement.
Compelling evidence, Mr. Cochran.
I have to own a little bit of that.
Johnny Cochran in this case.
Yeah, yes. I thought he had passed as well.
So Andrea and Pete killed Eldro.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, Pete did it first, though.
He's a really nice man. You would have liked him if you didn't kill him.
Right. I'm sorry.
I hosted many of a concert with him back in my smooth jazz days.
Yeah.
And we couldn't have been nicer, couldn't have been more friendly. Here's the thing that surprised
Kenny G always brought the wine coolers.
What surprised me, you know, he's backstage. He's getting ready to go on. That beautiful angelic voice that he's got.
Yeah.
And he's chain smoking backstage.
Yeah.
Shocked me.
Yeah.
Shocked me.
Not as much as his death, but I agree with you.
They did not announce cause of death. Funerals, private. They may do a public memorial later on.
But great talent.
Survived by
nice man.
Wife and child. And 76 years old. Couldn't have been nicer.
Steam. See you later.
We're in this love together.
Dean's won a Grammy for One Under Boob.
Smooth jazz, WGN.
Dean's right under boob.
Jazzing up your morning, everybody.
It's 7:30. Make it 8:34. About 7:34 parts of the country for you Mountain Time listeners. And we're back with a big story next on 720 WGN.
Okay? It seemed rushed, even to me, and I decide 3 court cases in an hour, okay? I see no evidence that it will help, so I'm sorry to say...
I want to settle.
Excuse me?
I'd like to settle out of court.
No, Mr. President, I'm sorry, but...
They always settle, Pocahontas, and so will you.
No, sir, no, I won't. And let me just say, you're doing too much, okay? I want one day without a CNN alert that scares the hell out of me, all right?
Amen to that. Ryan Noble's chasing the president and the news that matters all weekend, and none of it's fake because he's a journalist. Good morning, Ryan. How are you? Okay, so we have a serious phone problem here because we can't get him on the air.
Ryan.
Ask him to yell.
No. He can do it like a walkie-talkie. Hello, Steve.
How about if I ask questions and he texts us the answers?
Oh, that'll work.
Or we could do the whole interview on Twitter.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah.
That's good. That was a great line, though, from the People's Court judge Cecily.
Yeah. Yeah.
One
tremendous
day.
The Melissa McCarthy viral video, well worth watching.
It's excellent.
And let's see. In addition to that, I would recommend for those of you old enough to remember Fatal Attraction, the incredibly creepy Jake Tapper gets stalked by Kellyanne Conway video.
Glenn Close character.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh. Yeah, really well done.
I will not be.
Really well done.
Didn't that freak you out back then,
Jake,
as a guy? I will
Jake.
Not be ignored.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Jake, I have to be on the news. Yes.
I know.
Plus, there's a line about a microphone in there that, you know, you just go, wow. Yeah, okay.
Chicago getting quite a few mentions, too, in the sketch with Sean Spicer, with Melissa McCarthy, where that was Vanessa Bayer, right, where she said, I have the numbers here wrong. 80% of the people in Chicago are dead, and you're all responsible for it.
Yeah, 80% of the people in Chicago have been murdered.
Right.
Yeah. There is a game, if we can figure out a way to fix our phones here, we'll get Ryan Nobles on. There's a game that has become the popular game, drinking game, whatever the case may be, in Washington. And that's who goes first, because somebody in the Trump administration could likely be popped this week. Now, my money's on Michael Flynn, former General Michael Flynn. That would be swell if that were the case. All right, last chance here for Ryan. Do we have you, my friend?
Yeah, I think we finally are connected. Sorry about that, Steve. I don't know what happened.
No, it's not your fault. No worries. We love having you on, and you have up to the second information on everything that's happening. So this is the amazing thing. This seemed like a quiet weekend compared to the first couple for Trump. I would argue this was as much S hit the fan as any weekend he's had so far.
I mean, it's pretty incredible to think that here he was entertaining the prime minister from Japan at his Mar-a-Lago estate, and North Korea just decides that they're going to test another missile. It's pretty clear that North Korea was making some attempt to provoke the new President Trump, and by doing it with one of their biggest rivals visiting with him. And it was kind of surreal to see the president there with Prime Minister Abe at Mar-a-Lago trying to respond to that. And there was an interesting back and forth there because Trump actually had a statement sitting on the podium, which he didn't read. He just gave a one-line response saying that he supported Prime Minister Abe, but it was really his first big foreign relations test. It'll be interesting to see how this whole thing plays out.
Why didn't he read the statement?
Nobody can figure that out. You know, his aides have really pushed back on the fact that the statement was there. You know, Steve Bannon was seen kind of walking around Mar-a-Lago after, according to the pool report, seemed a little bit aggravated by the whole thing. The White House has said that essentially the president felt that he didn't need to read his statement because it was just reiterating what the prime minister said. And essentially what they're trying to say is they want Prime Minister Abe to be out front on this and just to show that the United States is supporting him. Whether or not that's true, just that, you know, President Trump at the last minute decided not to read it, I guess we'll never know.
It was a very awkward thing because you expect more. First off, the last time I remember a 10:30 at night statement by the president was when Obama came out and said we killed bin Laden. These are generally big deals. So when the president comes out and his statement is, we support Japan completely. Let's go get a steak. Or, you know, there was nothing to it.
Yeah, there was zero substance to it. You know, Abe basically just gave the same line that Japan has had consistently with North Korea. And the president didn't really offer any kind of additional explanation as to how they're going to respond to this. You know, he is in the past called the leader of North Korea a lunatic, but has never really offered any kind of substantive policy ideas to try and confront the North Korean threat, which continues to be a problem. And then when you add into it that North Korea has a very close relationship with China, which is, of course, the one country that President Trump appears to have somewhat of a problem with, and that, you know, leads to kind of boiling tension in that entire region. He's obviously gotten up close to the prime minister of Japan. He's called the leader of North Korea a lunatic, and he said a lot of provoking things about China. How this whole dynamic plays out, you've got Taiwan in there as well. And he's already blown up the TPP, which was a big, important thing that was going to happen in that region. I think that's one of the hot spots in the world to watch as we go forward. How is President Trump going to handle that? Also throw Russia into there, which also plays a big role in that whole geopolitical situation. And this thing could play out in maybe a scary way over the next couple of months.
My prediction is one of his staff goes this week. So who goes first? Is it Michael Flynn because of the Russia mess and really some treasonous behavior? Is it Sean Spicer because supposedly Trump friends are now speaking out against Sean Spicer? Is it Reince Priebus because he hired Sean Spicer and doesn't seem to be as forceful as he needs to be? Is it maybe Kellyanne Conway? Are any of these people going to be out of work by Friday?
I mean, all of the above are possible. Certainly Flynn, there is the most damaging information available about him. There, you know, the most obvious reasons to get rid of him are pretty evident. But there seems to be growing sentiment against Reince Priebus. And where you see that is Trump's friends speaking out against Priebus. And, you know, usually Trump's loyal, the way that people kind of clue in and get a message to Donald Trump is through cable news. And the CEO of Newsmax gave an interview in the New York Times. He was on CNN over the weekend where he just crushed Reince Priebus and said that he has no idea what he's doing, that he doesn't understand how the government works. So that might be a clue as to the way that Trump is leading. You know, Spicer is obviously an obvious candidate. I think every time Melissa McCarthy shows up on Saturday Night Live, that's damaging for Sean Spicer. But, you know, there's also a concern among the Trump White House that, you know, lopping off one of these major leaders in his administration is going to make it look even more chaotic than it already is. So there's an argument to be made that the fact that things are such a mess right now somewhat protects these people because Trump doesn't want to make it look that it's an even bigger mess than what it already is. So, you know, he's all about appearances. He's all about making sure that people think he's doing well. And if lopping off one of these guys makes you think differently, that might be enough to keep them around. You know, what Trump also likes to do is just shuffle the deck. Maybe Reince stays on with the role of chief of staff, but he brings in yet another advisor who actually has more influence.
I think whoever breaks bad on Trump,
like
though,
that happening too.
Ryan, don't you think I think whoever breaks bad on Trump will be the one to go, and I think that'll be Reince Priebus.
But here's the thing, and this is a legitimate concern. If you fire one of these people, there's NDAs, non-disclosure agreements that everybody signs. However, the best track you have now is to write a book about the campaign and to make your money as fast as you can, and to write a book about the White House. Right. Leaks have been unbelievably easy to get. If you throw me out of this job and you embarrass me, I'm going to be the first. I'm going to be leaking like you wouldn't believe. I'll be leaking. I'll be going on a record. You know, so if I'm Trump, who's paranoid to begin with, I got to be careful about who I fire.
Yeah, and he is doesn't have the opportunity to be as litigious as president as he did as the CEO of his company. So it's way harder to go and sue someone who writes a bad book about you when you're president of the United States. So I think that's another thing, another dynamic that's playing. But I also think one of the underreported stories about the infrastructure of the White House and of the government is that Trump just doesn't have a lot of human beings that he's close with that understand how to run the government. That's one of the reasons that Reince Priebus was brought in as chief of staff. There's no infrastructure there. He doesn't know people that can do these jobs. So every time he fires someone, you know, if he gets rid of Reince Priebus, that's a whole line of people that are connected to Reince that are running the day-to-day operation at the White House. That's going to make it that much more difficult. So that's a whole another dynamic that we have to keep an eye on.
You could have ended that sentence with, he doesn't know a whole lot of human beings. It's Ryan Nobles, and I got a little testy on Twitter over the weekend because I'm tired of CNN being laid out as fake news. It's a dangerous, stupid, blatant lie by the president of the United States. It's beneath the office, and he ought to be ashamed of himself, but I know that's not part of his act.
Kellyanne Conway said we're not fake news, so that's enough for me. We'll put it there.
Yeah, well, I just hope she doesn't hurt Jake.
Ryan, she will not be ignored.
Free Jake Tapper. Free Jake Tapper.
You know, CNN has been around for more than 35 years, and this guy's only been president for a couple of weeks, so we'll see which lasts longer.
Yeah, exactly. Bring it. Thank you, Ryan. Ryan Nobles. And follow Ryan on Twitter. He's a great follow.
Alexa, what's the weather?
It's 57 degrees.
Yeah, you're still going to have to mow the lawn.
Mom, look what I found.
Alexa, Wikipedia poison oak.
Poison oak is a woody vine that can cause rashes.
Aren't they pretty?
I saw woody vine at Disney this weekend.
You did?
No. Eric is in the studio. Eric's a technical expert, former very important person here at WGN until he stole from the company and we had to get rid of him.
Thank you.
Eric, how do we pronounce your last name?
Nevarowski.
Can I just call you Smith?
Yeah.
Eric Nevarowski is here. What do you do now?
I work for Tribune Digital, so I work on products that make us more visible on different, we call it multi-platform content upstairs.
And here's the cool news. You can go to your Alexa.
Yes.
And you can get news updates anytime from people like Andrea Darlis.
Yes. The flash briefing, I brought one down. Should we just try it?
Yeah.
What do you say, guys?
Go
Let's
ahead.
Do it. Yeah.
Okay.
So show us how it's done.
Okay. So I brought my Echo Dot. This is $49.99. This is the...
By the way, I call it Echo. You can choose Echo or Alexa. My Alexa, I changed the name to Echo.
I think you just woke her up.
Right.
By saying Alexa. So here, let's try this out. Alexa, hello.
Hello.
Great.
Nicely done.
Okay. Alexa, play the news.
Here's your flash briefing. From WGN Radio, here is your Chicago news.
I'm Ryan Burr with the latest from the WGN Radio.
And then just like that, now you have WGN
Alexa,
Radio news.
Alexa, stop.
Alexa, stop.
All right. Good. So you just... what's...
Alexa, stop.
So what's the verbiage
Sorry, I
again
dilled it.
To get the flash briefing?
You just say, Alexa, play some news. And then in your app, you can control the flash briefing. So for me, I have WGN Radio News.
Here's
number
your flash.
Alexa, stop.
All right, so you set it up in your preferences in the app.
Exactly.
Which one do you want.
Yeah.
Well, that's great. And,
yeah.
And Andrea and the WGN News team.
Mm-hmm.
Including Ron Burgundy.
Yes.
I record these flash briefings throughout the day.
They do about one every hour, I believe.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
It's fun. It's a quick, like, two-minute way to get the news. And I never thought, do any of you guys have an Echo or anything like that?
I do.
And
yes.
It's changed your life, right?
Yes. Yeah. I have the original, the Tall Boy.
Oh, nice. Ooh. So I used to wake up in the morning and watch TV like some commoner, and I'd wake up the entire house.
Hold on a second. Let's back this up a second. You used to wake up in the morning and do what?
Watch TV news,
this
Channel 9,
of course. This is why
you
don't work here anymore.
Right, Channel 9, of course.
Why wouldn't you listen to this show?
Well, I can now if I... That's a great segue. We call that a segue in the business. Alexa, play WGN Radio on TuneIn. And now...
WGN from TuneIn.
Alexa, stop. I didn't want to, like, two, you know, streams playing at one time.
It'd be like double audio.
Yeah. You don't want to cross them. So, but you can
you
also
should
listen,
never cross streams.
Never. And you can listen to WGN Radio on TuneIn as well, right through your app, in case you don't have a radio or a TV.
So you're customized for WGN. You get the news briefings.
You get the news briefings.
You can listen to it. Or if you're a dirty commie like you, you can get up in the morning and watch TV news.
Well, I don't anymore since because I was waking up the whole house. So now I just go in the kitchen and I listen to the news and I get the weather and the traffic. And then I come into work.
So, how's your lovely wife and beautiful daughter?
She's great. They're great. Thank you. Funny story. She didn't know I took it today. So I just picture my wife yelling in the kitchen for Alexa to play the news. And there was nothing.
Alexa, deadbeat.
I do like Alexa. I need to get the dot.
Yeah, this is a great little thing. It's $50. It's a great stocking stuffer for Christmas. You know, we're already thinking about it. It's already Christmas time.
You don't have to wait until Christmas.
You don't have to wait till Christmas, and it's $50, and it's pretty great, and I really love it, and I think it's just a great way to get more media and more ears here at WGN Radio and everywhere else.
We appreciate the work you're doing.
Well,
and
thank you.
You know I'm a kidder because
I know.
Love.
I know.
And just go to your settings in your Alexa app.
Yep.
And you can get your WGN briefings anytime you want.
And you can get traffic and jokes, and you can play Jeopardy, and it can do your workout for you. It's pretty great.
Why do you never hear this show? How are you educated about anything? You got to listen to the show.
It's a little early for me.
It's a little early for me. It's 9:20. Another wrap-up of the Grammys coming up. Eric, how do we stay in touch with you if we need to?
I guess Mike has my email address.
Yeah, just give out your cell phone. if you have any questions about your Echo dot or full size, we'll give out Eric's cell phone before the end of the show. Just call him 24/7.
Perfect. I would love it.
Can't you just ask Alexa if there's a problem? Echo, Alexa, what's wrong with you? Why aren't you working?
Know what went wrong.
Oh, look at her.
See, be very careful.
Alexa, what is the meaning of life? Oh, she couldn't.
A traditional answer is 42.
Okay.
There you go.
Like that's entirely true.
Actually, you can ask her that, and she does have an answer.
Well, we can also ask Nancy O'Dell, who's standing by on the phone right now.
Oh, I love Nancy O'Dell.
It's a shame your time is up, my friend, but you're always welcome here. Thanks for the tutorial.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
The Steve Cochran Show.
And in my pregnancy and through becoming a mother, I lost a lot of myself. And I've struggled, and I still do struggle being a mum. It's really hard. But tonight winning this kind of feels full circle, and like a bit of me has come back to myself, but I can't possibly accept this award, and I'm very humbled and I'm very grateful and gracious, but my artist of my life is Beyonce, and this album for me, the Lemonade album, was just so monumental. Beyonce, it was so monumental and so well thought out. We adore you. You are our light.
Big night for Adele, including a full diva stop and restart of her tribute to George Michael. Nancy O'Dell covering it for Entertainment Tonight. The lovely and talented Nancy O'Dell joins us now for a couple of minutes. There's none of the award shows are as entertaining as the Grammys, right? I mean, nothing comes close.
Yeah, well, I mean, they're all pretty entertaining because we're huge fans of movies and TV shows and stuff, but I mean, the Grammys, they always have some unexpected moments, and I think the great thing that the producers of the Grammys have done at CBS is that they always have those incredible collaborations and, you know, that their performances that you're going to write down and talk about forever. And I always say that the music does that. It's like a huge thing because, you know, there's music kind of is like a timeline of your life, for lack of better words. It sounds a little poetic, but, you know,
sure.
It is because it's like, for example, when you listen to those tributes of, you know, George Michael and Prince, it's like you remember those songs and they remind you of a certain time in high school or, you know, growing up and where were you listening to those songs and which ones you remembered and what were your favorite when you were a senior in high school or in college. Or it's just, I think they just remind us so much of our life, you know?
Nancy, I think that's why I love the Prince tribute. And I really did like the Bee Gees tribute, too, how they were kind of interweaving the songs. And
don't forget about my boy Morris Day.
Oh, that was phenomenal. But I think that's why I didn't really like the Adele George Michael tribute. Not so much the fact that she stopped and started again, but I was waiting to hear, you know, all the songs that we grew up with and all the George Michael kind of songs interwoven.
Yeah. I mean, I'm sure a lot of people were. I loved it. I mean, my personal take was I just thought it was different, you know, I think, and that's probably why the Grammy producers did it and why she did it, too, is because you did have, you know, the mix up of the songs of the others, you know, and the Bruno Mars doing the tribute as well. You had the mix up of all the different songs, and then it was George Michael, which was done so differently. But all those pictures of him, you know, what brought me to tears is beautiful.
Live shows are tough. And Nancy O'Dell knows has a great appreciation for her crew. We have a great appreciation for everybody that works so hard to do the background work here. But how can something so audio-dependent as the Grammys have technical problems in back-to-back years like this?
You know, well, we don't know exactly what happened. We're working on it right now to find out exactly what happened. And I'm sure by the time that ET airs tonight, we'll know the reason behind it. You know, it sounded, again, like it was like a little off, slightly off key to begin with, is what I thought when I was listening to it. Because when it came back, I don't know, the notes and everything just sounded a lot clearer, you know, when you stopped and restarted. So I don't know if it's the same kind of audio issue, but you would think that they double-checked and triple-checked and everything to make sure. But
right, yeah, and well, then the Metallica mic not working.
Yeah.
James Hetfield's mic went off.
You know, I will tell you, just from being backstage, there is so much that is going on. In fact, yesterday at rehearsals, you know, I'm sitting there watching, and there's like nets of like chandeliers, and there was like, you know, 100 dancers back there. It seemed like just for Beyonce's number alone, and, you know, and then literally sitting there. I mean, I wanted to take a picture of it so you could see, but then they didn't want us to take the backstage, you know, photographs. But literally behind me, there was probably what was 200 handheld microphones, and they were in little bins, and each had a number on them. And I was like, how in the world do you keep all this straight? I actually had that thought because it just made me think of like Adele's issue last year with the audio and being on the piano. And I was like, how in the world? And think of the numbers of people who have to do their job properly for each number to go off. Fantastic. So I think if it were just one performance, then it'll be super easy. When you got all these people involved in so many different performances and you got, something's going to happen. Something is going to happen. But we don't know with Adele. You know, it could have been, I doubt it, but it could have been Adele starting a little bit on the
track. Yeah, it's possible. And I like, I said, you know, Andre and I disagreed about this, but I like the fact that she redid this song. Said, no, we're not going to do this again this year. I'm going to get it right. Before I let you go, I know you'll cover this on our entertainment tonight later. A favorite fashion moment or dress of the night, one you really liked?
I loved Faith Hill's dress. I thought she looked phenomenal.
Amazing.
Oh, my gosh. It was just, when she walked out, I liked hers and Carrie Underwood. They both had on red and kind of similar dresses. And when they both walked on the red carpet, I mean, Kevin and I both went like, wow, you know.
Really so, cool.
But we're going to do a complete fashion wrap-up tonight. And you'll see it all, including Lady Gaga's arrival outfit.
By the way, I've declared Lady Gaga the most talented person in show business, and it has nothing to do with the underboob. The woman is unbelievable.
She is. She really is.
So.
She is. I mean, just so many talented people.
Thank you, Nancy O'Dell. Entertainment Tonight. She'll have it all for you a little bit later this afternoon when you watch ET. You can check your local listings wherever you're listening around the country to get your entertainment tonight. At 9:28, we're back after this. We'll get your big story next on 720 WGN. Paul Conrad joined CLTV now in the Steve Cochran Show on WGN. He walked over from his Channel 9 throne.
Yeah.
And joins us now. By the way, it's not technically B-roll. What would you call the shot we had of Paul's ass for about 5 minutes?
A-roll.
That's A-roll?
A-roll.
Yes.
Yeah.
You
took a picture of it so we could send him a shot of that.
I sent it to you, Paul.
I got it. It looks good.
You look good.
Yeah. That's what I call an early Valentine's Day gift.
Yes, a shot of your own posterior.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was nice.
How you doing?
We could post it.
Really nice.
Post the posterior.
I sent it to you, too, so you can post it.
Yeah, just make sure you give me credit, because a lot of guys going around trying to steal that.
Yeah, there's no doubt about it. So I just got back from Disney.
Oh, congratulations. How was it?
Well, I went by myself. It was a little creepy.
Ooh.
No, I took the family, and And Amy Cochran's birthday, she wanted to bring her little niece, Ross's daughter, Abigail. Nice. So we did the whole Disney thing. Have you done that with your 47 children?
No, I have not done it.
How come?
I'm not against it. I just don't want to go. Not a fan of hot weather. And I've kind of avoided that whole Disney
thing.
Didn't
you live in Tampa for a couple of years?
Yeah, I was there. Didn't like it. It was too hot for me. But I'm not opposed to it. I just don't want to go. I didn't go as a
kid. How is that not being opposed to it?
Well, I'm trying to be diplomatic.
All right.
I'm not shaming anybody who's going and spending 100, 125 bucks, whatever it is, per person.
I think it's 150 now.
Well, it's worth every penny of it if it brings you joy and satisfaction.
Yes.
But.
Can I tell you the new song they're singing on one of the rides?
Yeah, I'd love it.
It's a small boat after all. Don't sit in the front of that boat after all. Your knees will be in your throat after all.
Really?
It's a small boat after all. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Ha.
Yeah.
That thing's still going on there, huh?
Yeah, they haven't changed it a bit.
See, they're making a lot of profits.
Well, yeah, no, listen, it's a heck of a business model. Some of the things they need to update.
Right.
But the Disney model itself is great. Customer service. Yeah. You want customer service? There is not an unhappy camper on that entire Disney campus.
Isn't that nice?
Yeah.
It is nice that they get that part of it down.
Yeah. So anyway, I just want to let you know that. And secondarily, I had a question for you.
Yeah.
As a card-carrying member of the American Meteorological Situation.
Yeah,
how come we haven't had a winner yet?
I have no idea. I have no clue as to what is going on.
All right,
because you look at the calendar this time of the year and you're thinking, it's going to be 20s, 30s. You're not thinking it's going to be 40s, 50s.
Right, it could be 60 this weekend, right?
Right, yeah. So the only thing I can come up with is maybe I got my calendar wrong and I missed a month or something like that.
Well, my concern is it'll all come in March. Is that possible?
That is possible, yeah. That is kind of my concern because March already is a hard enough month to get through.
Yeah.
And then, I could see where things would go wrong.
So what you're saying, I mean, I don't want to overread this.
No, that's fine. Yeah.
But what you're saying is that Tom Skilling doesn't tell you any of the real science.
No, he has quit talking to me about 17 years ago. He quit.
So there's no sharing of the inside knowledge of what's going on with the weather.
That's why I went with maybe it's my day timer is off or something like that, because he's a smart guy and he's selfish and he's not willing to give me any information.
Oh, geez, Paul, just come in and ask anything you want. All right. Well, how are you? All right. I know you got to go back to the set of Channel 9.
No, I'm good. Hey, so your granddaughter went to Disney.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And she's not a year old yet, is she?
Yeah, she's a little over a year.
A little over a year. Okay, yeah. So you got it out of her. That's great. You're done with that.
No, she's got to go back.
I hadn't thought about that. Are there toddler bucket lists that you have to check off? It seems kind of depressing.
Well, she's got it done, yeah.
Yeah.
And now she can't complain, say her parents are bad or
anything.
She's
a perfect kid. She wouldn't complain. You know, what are you talking about?
Nice. You guys, I have to just kind of out both of you. You know, you're manly men, but
yeah,
Steve,
totally.
You were just at Disney. Paul, congratulations. I know your daughter lost a tooth. I saw you proudly put that on Twitter. But Paul threw his producer last week a baby shower.
Yeah.
Isn't that nice?
I saw that. Your producer was really cranky about it.
He is a cranky guy. He's not the happiest person that you'll ever run into.
Does he not want to be a father?
Well, I just don't think he wants to be.
Does he know if he's the father?
Yeah, pretty sure he knows he's the father.
Okay.
And I think he's,
that's Nick, isn't it?
Nick, yeah. Nice guy.
Yeah.
A little bit angry. Here's the deal. He's been working with Tomasulo for so long that he is ready to off himself. You know, he spent too much time. And so I think he's excited because he's going to, I hope, cash in on that maternity leave thing. He might be gone for a year or so.
Paternity? That would be.
Yeah, paternity. Yeah.
Why not maternity? Who are you discriminating against?
Sorry, guys.
Yeah, the Tribune Media policy is as a father, you can get up to 14 minutes off when the baby's born.
There you are. Hey, Steve, were you in the delivery room for your
children? Both of them.
Yeah.
How about you?
Yeah, I was also, but I don't know that that was the best decision.
Well, I think it's important to be there. I tried not to look at anything. I just stared at the ceiling the entire time.
Well, see, I was sitting on the sofa, and one of the nurses or doctors says, hey, you come on over here and take a hand or something. And I'm like, I felt guilted into it because it was all ladies. It was a lady doctor, lady nurses. My wife is there. And I was thinking, hey, listen, I'm spending a lot of money here. I'm just going to sit on the sofa here and read this magazine. And then they get me working because I couldn't say no. I felt
right.
I should have.
I get it. Again.
So I just, any new to be dads that you're going in there, I'm just warning you. You got to be ready to work or come up with some kind of handicap that's not going to allow you to have to do anything.
Yeah, maybe have some paperwork ready ahead of time.
Yeah.
You know, I had a doctor, Dave. I don't know if you went through this, Dave Bennett, but I had the doctor offer me the opportunity to cut the umbilical cord. I don't know if they do that anymore.
Yeah, I think.
And you know what I said? Hey, which one of us went to medical school?
Right.
Why don't you do that?
Yeah. And what am I supposed to do with the video camera?
Right.
My husband did that. He cut the cord.
Did he?
He did. No. My last
he was trying to save money to get you to do it.
No, thank you.
Cut corners there.
And we know this for a fact. The nurses are doing all the work.
Yeah,
right. All the work.
You guys done enough. Come on.
Yeah. Well, but the obstetrician is like a catcher. The obstetrician comes in, and the signs from the mom can be pretty distinct. Most of them are cursing. And the obstetrician, Paul, you'll back me up on this, goes into the squat. Ask for the fastball, and the kid pops out.
Right.
No, wait. I take that
just
back.
Like that.
My husband didn't cut the cord. He caught the baby. And he still claims that he delivered it to this day.
What do you mean, caught the baby?
Well, he, like, you
came
know.
Came out with force. Came firing out, huh?
Yeah, came firing. He got it.
Nice.
He got Will.
Not easy to catch a curve at times. You know, a lot of pressure in there. And they're not feeding the men either. You're sitting in there, and there's no food. They're not bringing you anything.
I've talked about that many times. Your feet get tired.
There. It's awful. Only thinking about women in there.
Stop it. You guys, your feet get tired? Come on.
Can I offer another piece of advice for future dads?
Yeah, please do.
In the delivery room, do not ask the doctor to examine your throat. Just in case, I had a sore throat.
Yeah,
you did not.
And I asked the doctor just to check. I did not want to expose the newborn to strep or anything.
Take a look.
Yeah.
I would have gone in the delivery room and punched you.
Okay. My wife is lying there. She, to this day, 28 years later, she doesn't let me forget that.
Dave, listen, you were treated poorly there, and I apologize because you had a need. These doctors are in the business of caring for people. And you're supposed to be able to show you're a man. You're a human being with feelings. You should be allowed to have a need. It's not always all about them.
That's right, Paul.
God, the poor guy.
Wow.
Were you all right?
Yeah. Well, I was okay as it turned out.
How about now?
You're
okay now?
Baby. I'm not sure now.
Yeah, and your wife has been going on and on for the last 20 years.
The
real you've had a need.
The real answer here, and I'm not saying this is right for me, but it could be right for you, is to get a posse.
Yeah.
Because Jay-Z is sending the posse into Beyonce's delivery room.
The least the three of you guys can do is take paternity when Beyonce has the babies.
That's exactly right.
All right.
Tribune Media should have paternity leave for people who know Beyonce had twins.
Right. That's right. Okay. She had twins already?
Not yet.
You would have thought she did after last night.
It's Paul Conrad, my friend Paul Conrad from Channel 9. If you want to see a picture of Paul's butt, we'll be sending that up.
Yeah. Enjoy. And I hope this doesn't ruin anyone's Valentine's, you know, because sometimes people get a look and they're like, oh, I'm leaving the stiff that I'm with and I'm going to try to track him down. Listen, I'm married. I'm happily married. So don't go knocking on my door. So just be careful. If you're going to look, you have to be prepared to deal with the consequences.
Are you asking me to be your Valentine? Is that what this is about?
I already posted the picture. Yeah. I posted it around the radio station.
All right. All right. Just so it's official, Paul and I are off the market. We're each other's Valentine's.
God. Suckers. He who hesitates is lost.
All right. Thanks, buddy.
All right. Love
thanks
you.
For being on. Love you back. All right. There you go. That's Paul. I think it was a really informative segment.
He made me feel a lot better about that whole delivery thing.
Oh, I think you're wrong.
I went through it.
You should be ashamed. You, of all people.
What do you
Mr.
mean
Sensei?
Ashamed?
I was talking football with the obstetrician, and Maureen had an epidural. It's a medical thing going on. You know, so no feeling from the waist down, kind of like during conception. And then her leg fell off the table. Are we still on?
Sure.
Are we still on? Let's see, a love theme from Dr. Ennett.
Hey, whatever works.
Bill F. and Andrea today. We got a couple of minutes here before the end of the show, Bill. And say hi to the CLTV audience.
Hello, CLTV audience.
CLTV.
CL.
I would think the TV part
what is
would
it?
Have been the easiest part.
CL what?
CLTV.
TV? Where is that shown?
It's all over.
It's on, this, on the TV
check your local
screen?
Listings.
All right, I'll start watching CLTV.
Yeah, you should.
All right.
It's good.
So you and Andrea work.
Oh, then I'm watching it. I love stuff in color.
Yeah. Do you insist most of your television be in color?
The newer stuff, yeah. You know, the older stuff isn't going to be in color, but I like color. It's so vibrant, isn't it?
Why am I the only one of my age range, which is nearly dead? I'm 55. I pay my taxes.
Sure you do.
I'm 55. I don't remember when we got a color TV. I mean, I know we had a black and white TV, but I don't remember being like a monumental moment. Now we have a color TV.
Well, it was probably...
And we were poor. We were dirt poor.
Were you know how poor? We were? We how didn't poor? Have
money. Money hadn't been invented yet.
They didn't even have money when you guys were... Oh.
Yeah. You know, we got stuff, traded pelts. That's go and shoot an animal and trade a pelt.
Yes.
With the abacus.
Yes.
Do you remember when you got a color TV?
I do. I faked that I was sick so I could stay home from school and watch.
Yeah.
But I also remember going, the first kid on the block whose family had a color TV, we'd go over there.
Look at you, Richie Rich.
No, wait a minute. I wasn't the first kid.
Someone else did.
This was Richie Rich. Really?
Yep.
Do you remember the old color TVs? It was either kind of a green or a purple tint.
Yep.
Yeah. So, I mean, it was very...
Well, I remember it was cool to take the tint and the contrast and all those and crank them up a bunch of different ways and make the people different colors. That was big fun when you were a kid.
Yeah.
You remember when you got a color TV?
Yeah. In our living room, we had a color TV, and in our kitchen, we had a black and white Philco. If you're listening, Philco, hello.
And you're trying to get something new.
I would love another black and white 16-inch Philco for my kitchen.
They'll suck it up to Philco again.
We would always watch the one in the kitchen, which is ridiculous because the living room was 8 paces away, but we would all sit around the kitchen table and watch the black and white instead.
Yeah. I remember my last black and white TV. It was 1994. I'm not kidding.
You still had one in the 90s?
It was, well, I didn't actually. But in 1994, when I moved to town or bought a house, none of the stuff was in yet. It was all on the truck. And I literally moved into my house the night of the OJ slow speed chase.
Oh, yeah.
So I walked into a Target to try to buy a TV. And it was a one, the cheapest one I could find was a 9-inch black and white TV for $100.
Oh, nice.
Now you can get into the fill-up. Bill and Andre are next at 720 WGN.